Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that comes in and helps me out with your computer questions, comments, and concerns. And feel free to get online. Usually the 9 o'clock hour is easier than the 10 o'clock hour. It's a lovely spring morning here in New England. Pretty much like Groundhog Day, it seems. Raining. So feel free to get online. We'll do our best. Obviously, we've already tried to figure out why our TV stations were all taken over by Downton Abbey this morning. No matter what channel I watched, it was Masterpiece Theater all morning. And so you're probably trying to figure out what's going on with that. We can help you there. But if you have a computer problem, we can try to help you with that. 1-800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. And some of the news we've got for you. This one I kind of found interesting because, you know, technology is supposed to help us. Right, Bob?
Right.
And it's trying to save us time. And then all of a sudden, your Nest-equipped smart home becomes really stupid when the cloudy Nest system goes belly up. Now, the British have a different word for it, which I can't use on this station, even though I think I probably could because of what's happening in England today. But we're not going to use what the British say. In this case, it went belly up.
Yeah, it's not one of the seven forbidden words per se.
Per se. But I just love how the British, you know, say something went wrong. But we'll post this information here. But basically, if you had a smart home, it weren't really stupid because the Nest system, the cloud system, went down. Of course, the physical controls weren't affected. But if you wanted to unlock or disarm your security having to do with the Nest Yale lock, or if you wanted to change your thermostat because you were cold or warm, it couldn't do that anymore because it couldn't talk to the cloud. It's ridiculous, you know, but that's how this system works. It needs to be connected as an Internet of Thing device. So obviously, as we say, even to our business clients, you should have some sort of physical backup. You know, if you're a doctor's office, you've probably gotten to the habit of printing out your daily schedule in case your computers are down because you wouldn't want to not know who's coming to the office, right? Here with the Nest system, you need to at least have a old-fashioned key to get back into your house. However, you still couldn't do anything with your thermostat. You'd have to wait for the internet to come back up.
Even if you have a backup generator.
Right.
Everything else is down.
Right.
So you don't have internet.
Right.
And it can't phone home to tell you what temperature your house should be.
Exactly. What a great idea. Let's make this the way we live. So if your Nest went out, it was something that you couldn't deal with. Make sure you have a key.
Well, you could spend a bunch of money and get a backup through the cellular device.
Right, a backup internet connection.
Backup internet connection.
Pay twice.
Yeah.
But this wouldn't have helped because the cloud itself, the Nest cloud was down. The internet wasn't down. The service itself was down. So you had power. You had
Well, wait
internet.
Wait a minute. It's supposed to be in the cloud. The cloud never goes down.
Exactly. So you still, even though you had your key to get in, you couldn't change your thermostat. So you either were sweating bullets or you were freezing cold, and the Nest folks were just apologizing.
Wait a minute. This is a little cloudy to me.
I hear you. We'll put a link up here for you to take a look. What do you got, Bob? Anything interesting?
Oh, I got a bunch of stuff interesting.
What do you got?
Well, okay. Remember what we were talking about last week?
Mm-hmm. I try to. I think so. What were we talking about?
The FCC is now investigating a different company called Location Smart.
Right.
Over the phone tracking flaw.
Right. So there was a sheriff that was tracking his employees using a tool through SecureUS that tracks like prisoners making phone calls. And the SecureUS company uses this company that Bob just referenced, which is called Location something.
Location Smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now the FCC is investigating because it seems these guys have access to all of this stuff as far as where we're located.
Well, see,
no matter where we go.
Here's the thing. The way the law is written, the telephone companies, you know, your wireless companies like AT&T,
Verizon,
Sprint, whoever.
Yeah.
They cannot share this tracking data or personal data with the government.
No.
But they can share it with a private company.
Marketers. People who want to know that you're driving past a Blimpies and say, hey, are you hungry? Go pull in over here.
They can use the data to track all the cell phones provided they have permission from the owner of the smartphone.
Which we've given implicit permission by simply buying the phone, right?
Well, you know.
Have we opted in or do you have to opt out?
You signed a EULA. You agreed to the EULA, right? You read that, right?
I'm sure I did, yes.
Yeah, it's like only took, what, three, 4 hours, right?
Exactly.
Of your time.
Yeah.
And you wanted it now.
Right. So you clicked agree. I agree.
So anyway.
So,
the point is, but they're supposed to send you a text message or a phone call.
Saying, hey, we're going to track you. Is that okay?
That's right.
And so-and-so
is requested to be able to track. Well, the problem is you see, there was a flaw on their website.
Yeah, I know.
That gave them the opportunity just to validate that, they agreed to it, or to actually be able to access the information without them agreeing to it and without notifying them.
Right.
So because of that flaw on their website, which they shut down, and they said that they did research and they found that the only access that was the people that were actually discovering the flaw and testing it to see if it worked.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I've got a good used car for sale,
exactly.
too.
So we'll put a link up here for you. So it looks like the folks that have had this data have been using it to track folks for quite some time.
So I have two articles on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one article doesn't give you the whole story, but the other article gives you a little more of the story. So you really got to read them both, and they're kind of interesting.
They're a little scary. Again, you know, we think we're private. This comes back to Zuckerberg and Facebook. This comes back to the Googleplex. This comes back to any of these folks. Your data is being captured, and you're paying an arm and a leg for your cell service. Arms and legs. I mean, I use Google Fi and save a ton of money. But those of you who are on Verizon and Sprint and T-Mobile, you're paying gobs of money for this internet connection. And now they're tracking you, and then they're selling the data to others who want to know, again, that you're driving past the company.
It's just another revenue stream.
Yeah, but you didn't agree to it. You know, your privacy is gone.
Did you agree to it,
EULA,
or did you not agree to it?
I'm sure that contract you signed when you bought the phone says you get to give them your firstborn, too, probably.
And then they've been sending out these new EULAs for you to agree to.
Yeah. By the way, we just want to make sure you're aware we're watching.
We're selling your information.
That's crazy.
So we can track you anywhere, and so can your neighbor.
Yeah.
And so can that stalker.
Yeah, this website was definitely creepy. We'll put a link up there for you. Take a look at it. It's something you should be aware of. You can opt out, I think. We can try to find more information about that, too. But that's not as easily done from what I can tell. Or the laws have to be changed. I mean, where's Blumenthal? This is up his alley.
They've got the FCC is investigating. So there's a congressional committee that's being formed.
Yeah.
So don't worry. That'll be done in about 20 years.
Who knows? In other news, since the whole Zuckerberg Facebook issue where all these apps were found to be tracking us and all of our data was being gleaned and used against us, Facebook has deleted not one, not two, but 583 million fake accounts. Now, I remember when Zuckerberg was so happy he hit a billion accounts. He just deleted 583 million fake ones in the first 3 months of 2018. Now, Facebook says it's got 2.2 billion monthly active users, but it just deleted more than a quarter of it in 3 months. That's a lot of fake accounts, and they just figured it out now?
And how many more do they have that they didn't yet, identify?
Exactly. But they're starting to remove these fake accounts. Gee, great. It's about time.
So these fake accounts are free, right?
They're all free, right? Yeah. 583 million fake accounts.
So I could
And they found like 200 apps that were doing the same thing that Cambridge Analytica's app was doing as far as gleaning data that they weren't supposed to take about other users on Facebook.
Yeah, but you see, depending on who they were doing it for, it may or may not have been okay.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who they took down or not, but that's ridiculous. So 583 million fake users on Facebook. Any other news you want to bring up?
Yeah. Okay, you remember when Trump was campaigning for president, he said that Amazon was abusing the Postal Service?
I did, yeah. We actually talked about what they were doing with the Postal Service even before he did, but go ahead.
Okay, well.
Because it came out, because it was a study by an accounting firm who said that they were charging too little for their shipping, according to this study by this accounting firm.
CNET article, it just references Trump reportedly pushed Postmaster General to double the Amazon fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but she pushed back. Okay?
The Postmaster General?
Because he was calling the company's use of the Postal Service a scam and swiping at the company's lobbying efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, reviewing the business practices. But the woman that runs the Postal Service, and I'm quickly trying to browse what her name is here, but the point is she said that they can't change it because they have contracts
mm-hmm.
with Amazon.
Right.
So, you know, if they're going to double the money, it's going to cost, it's not just Amazon, because Amazon is a company, but there are a lot of private companies that advertise and do their business under the Amazon banner.
Mm-hmm.
So when you shop on Amazon, a lot of times it'll say buy and then it'll be like another company.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, they're sharing their internet space, if you will.
Right.
So,
yeah. But the point is, Trump feels the prices are too low. And this other accounting firm, I can't remember who it was, thought it was too low as well. That's why this study comes up. This came out back in 2015 or something like that, or 16, even before Trump got involved. We brought it up. And these quote-unquote contracts are long-term contracts, giving them a huge discount, I guess, more of a discount than they should be giving.
So they spent $21.7 billion on shipping costs last year, which includes sorting, delivery center, and transportation costs.
Right.
And analysts estimate that around 40% of its packages are delivered by the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, it's great giving those guys something to do.
And
no one's mailing letters anymore.
What the other thing saying is that, Amazon's use of the Postal Service is helping to keep it afloat.
Mm.
Because if it ran on its core business, probably go under.
We shouldn't be subsidizing it. If the price is lower than it should be, you and I are subsidizing it.
Well, we're subsidizing the Postal Service.
Oh, that's true.
Now.
We're further subsidizing it. We don't need to further subsidize it. Amazon's a very profitable company that can afford to pay for shipping. Period. 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 And if they can't, if they want to go to a better deal with UPS or FedEx,
Amazon's been around for how many years now? And they've never had a profit.
Yeah, that's true. They have. Well, they recently did. We're gonna step out for a quick break. We got three lines up for you. Plenty of news to talk about, and we'll be right back. And we are back. You know, those royals, they do know how to use trumpets, man. Those guys, those guys rocked. And that cellist was amazing. So they did have some good music. And they had some good, the choral group there singing Stand By Me did a great job, too. So it was a great musical performance. Very interesting as far as that's one of the things I found interesting. But those trumpets, man, they rocked. They should have showed them because those guys are standing there with these amazing horns, big rugs coming down their arms, and they're playing so well. That's awesome.
Well, they've used trumpets for the royals.
Oh yeah,
for centuries.
Exactly. I mean, basically, it's basically if you're in an orchestra or some sort of band, it's the trumpets, and the rest of you are supporting cast. I mean, that's how all trumpets feel. You know, I'm kidding, but that's how we all feel. That's how we all feel. But the royals know how to use trumpets. Let's get to your calls. We got three lines open. Feel free to get online. Kelly in Simsbury's up. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Good. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, first I have to compliment Richie. You know, on a business note, he's doing an awesome job.
Oh, great, yeah.
On the Ryan project. He's
Thank
really,
you.
Really good.
Yes, he is.
So, but I'm calling. I'm trying to get some work done on a Saturday morning at my office.
Uh-oh.
And my laptop is bogged down like you can't believe, and I have no idea how to determine what is bogging it down.
So you want to go into your task manager, and if you're running Windows 7, you can just do a Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah, I think it's 7.
Well, actually, you don't even need to do that. You can right-click on your taskbar and choose Task Manager.
So I bring up Task Manager, and I'm actually doing it real-time while I'm chatting.
Yeah.
First of all, everything is slow. I'm trying to do some uploads to Dropbox. You know, everything is tied up.
Right.
Click on the Performance tab.
Okay.
Once you're in Task Manager. Okay.
And it is...
You should be able to see what your CPU is doing, your memory, your disk.
4%. speeds, 0.35 gigahertz, 231 processes. I mean, this is all Greek to me anyway, but...
Well, what operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Windows 7. Okay, it doesn't give you as much. Windows 10 gives you your CPU, your memory, your disk.
But you should be able to go to the processes tab and see what's spiking right. out your CPU at 100% because you can list it in order. So if you go to, like, CPU, you should see who's chewing up your CPU.
But it may not be the CPU.
What's the most important measure to determine what's causing this thing to go so slow? Is it memory or CPU?
It could be CPU. It could be drive. It could be,
your disk. So then
could be something in
the
background.
Under the performance tab, if you go down a little bit closer to the bottom, there'll be a resource manager button.
Yeah.
And you can click that. It'll open up your resource manager. And then you can look at the performance of each part. You can look at your CPU, your memory, your disk, and what have you.
Yeah, so memory is 31% used physical memory.
Okay, that's fine.
The CPU is 5% usage.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if maybe this is some kind of a...
Click on the disk.
What's that?
The disk.
Disk is 1% highest. It's 72 kilobyte per second.
But it's only 1%, you said?
The disk... Give me one sec.
Yeah, sure.
It just gives me two measures, 84 kilobytes per second, and then it's saying 1% highest active time.
Yeah, so it's not being – so your CPU, RAM, and drive are not the problem, but you're still seeing this performance issue. And this is – what are you trying to run? What program?
I'm doing just basic stuff. I'm doing some banking. I'm doing some uploading of files, and everything is slow. I mean, it's amazing, and it's a huge difference from what it was. I'm wondering if there's something else going on, like a virus possibly. Or...
Well, it would be a virus if their CPU is pegged out, right? Because that would take away resources, but you're not seeing that.
Right.
So, and you're not seeing any RAM resources being utilized. So have you – I assume – I'm going to ask this question anyways. You rebooted?
I did reboot. And on the reboot, and I'm wondering this is – I'm afraid of this – it reboots and it comes up with some kind of a power message. It's just because I'm at my workstation here.
Right.
And it's saying the thing can't recognize the wattage and it doesn't know what to do.
Okay, that could be the contributing factor here. You have some sort of issue with the physical machine. You're plugged in or you want a battery?
Plugged in.
All right, what's the make and model, Kelly? We're going to have to go to a hard break in a second.
Yeah, no sweat. It's a Dell laptop that's a – you don't even have the thing don't have the actual model number.
That's okay. All right, because we're going to have to go to a
Precision. It's a Precision M2800.
All right, we're going to go to a quick break. If you can hang on a little bit, we're going to do a little research in the background here.
That'd be awesome.
To see if we can do. I assume your antivirus is scanning right now, possibly.
Yeah, I went down to the tray on the right hand side. Everything seems to be going okay. No major messages,
Is it scanning? Is it active? Is it?
Eric, I'll check.
Check that during the break and see if maybe that's causing. But again, it should show up as your CPU utilization. Hang on, though,
okay.
Kelly.
Yep, thanks.
All right, we're going to keep Kelly on hold. We got three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about has been posted on ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the old-fashioned website. If you like us on Facebook, it'll go to your news feed if Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And, of course, if you follow us on Twitter, right behind Donald Trump there, at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get tweeted to you as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And feel free to get online. Two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're on with Kelly, who's got a slow computer. Are you still there, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Doing fine still. We did a little more research for you. So obviously, you know, malware could be running, but you're not showing any kind of CPU spike. So, you know, what kind of antivirus did you say you had? What brand?
It's McAfee.
McAfee.
Hey, quick question. Is the memory, it shows that there's 4.8 gigs in use.
Over 32, though. You get tons of space.
How big is your page file?
Page pool, 456 megabytes.
Not big enough.
That could be a problem. But I'm thinking first that you got something else wrong. You got that warning that came up.
Yes.
And so we're going to recommend that you go into the Dell Diagnostics to see if it can do a hardware diagnostic to see if it's got something physically wrong.
Okay.
And generally you do that by, I guess, booting it up and you press, I think it's F12. And you'll get into a diagnostic mode, and it's going to test your hardware and tell you whether or not you have something wrong. Maybe you've got a bad memory stick. Maybe you do have something physically wrong with the laptop causing this performance issue.
Sure.
we're not big fans of McAfee. You know, we'd rather you run something a little smarter, a little lighter. Webroot is what we recommend for professional antivirus.
Okay.
But in this case, do the diagnostic. We're here till 11. And see, call us back and let us know if it's found anything.
Okay.
Because that seems to be the most sense that's happening here, because I doubt you have any malware running. You're not seeing any CPU spikes or RAM spikes. You could have a bad stick or something wrong with your motherboard that's showing the performance issue. You've already rebooted. Is it a solid state drive, Kelly?
Yes,
or
it is, actually.
Oh, I was going to say defrag, so that you can't even do that with a solid state. So you've got all the performance in your hand there that should produce a great result. So you could have a physical problem.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that. The worst part about it is, you know, you look at Task Manager, I get all this data, I have no clue what any of it means.
well, we just kind of covered it, though. As far as the Task Manager goes, if your CPU is not really working hard, if your RAM is not fully utilized, then the machine is not sweating, but it's showing a problem.
Yeah.
So it could be something physically wrong with it. That's our thinking.
So. Yeah. All right, Eric. Well, thanks Kelly. Very much for the help.
Yeah, nice chatting with you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, because generally something in the background like malware – would show a spike of your CPU. Maybe it's sitting at 100%, you couldn't do anything. Heck, sometimes Windows updates seem like malware to me when they're updating in the background, your machine's just spinning, waiting for an update. But he wasn't having that problem. He was simply having...
Well, McAfee is a resource-intensive application.
It is.
Because it's doing so many things.
But it's not also, in this case, he's barely making his machine sweat.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if he's reading it well. The one thing that I do like, they made a huge improvement in Windows 10 in the resource manager and the task manager. Mm-hmm. So you get a visual graph
of your utilization,
of your resources, and all of them kind of in one spot.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, the biggest bottleneck I have on my laptop is my disk, hard disk.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly pegged at 100%.
Yeah, so. He's got an older laptop. You're due for a replacement. We got to take care of that for you, Bob. Let's go on to Kevin in Simsbury next. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Good.
Listen, I've got a Dell E6440.
All right.
Laptop's about 3 years old. It's been a great laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Went to fire it up the other morning and just get a black screen with flashing cursor.
Ooh.
And get it to post, can't get it to boot. Went through my recovery disk options, did the self-diagnosis with the recovery disk. Everything checked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a little research online and found that there was a self-healing option that they built into these latitudes where you take it apart and disconnect the CMOS battery and go through a regime that supposedly helps you get it into a posting or a booting framework, and that mm-hmm. didn't work, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
So right now I've got the hard drive out and with a SATA converter or a reader, and I'm making sure I've got all my data out of it.
Good.
I was looking at the recovery options off of my recovery disk. And I guess the main question I have is the only recovery option it's seeing is to restore to original. And I can't find any other way to get to any other recoveries. Presumably because it can't even boot into its own hard drive at this point in time. And this was originally a Windows 7 machine, which I then updated to Windows 10. So if I restore to, how does that work? Does it restore to Windows 7 and then I have to go through a new process to convert to Windows 10, et cetera? I guess that's the basis of my question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the answer to your question is yes, it'll restore to Windows 7, but it created a hash algorithm, so you should have no problem updating to Windows 10. Now, what I would interject here was before you pull the hard drive out, when you had the hard drive in, I would have booted up into the Dell Diagnostics and had it do a self-check on all the systems. Because
he did that.
You did that?
I thought I heard him say that.
And you came up green on the hard disk?
It came up green on everything, and I'm reading the hard disk right now from my backup computer.
And well, I understand, but when you did the diagnostic, it showed a green check mark next to your hard drive?
If I recall, yes. Everything checked out with no errors.
So you have something maybe corrupt on your hard drive. It's not physically damaged, but obviously the operating system is not getting past the boot sequence, right? You just see a black screen again.
It's not posting. It's not booting. I think what happened when we were having the bad weather last week.
Okay.
I unplugged my computer in advance of the storm.
Yep.
and removed it from the system in case there were any surges.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is it was asleep. I didn't realize that. I thought it was off. It was actually asleep. So it tried to reboot later and do an update or something, and either ran out of battery or something, I'm guessing, during that interim.
Hmm.
And then when I tried to fire it up, plugged it in and tried to fire it up later, it just black screen, flashing cursor, gives the Dell watch for about a second and then does nothing.
Wow. Yeah, and so even a restore point, are you able to get to the restore point under safe mode? You're not, right? You can't even get to that point.
I can't get into safe mode.
Yeah.
I can't get into anything.
You're not even booting.
I
that whole.
To,
you get a master boot.
F12 on the boot up with a recovery disk.
This is a laptop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How old is it?
Only three, he said.
A little over 3 years.
A little over 3 years. So it's out of warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
But it's not physically broken.
What I might try to do is, you have your recovery disks, though, from Dell, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay. I think your option here is to get a new hard drive. And
You think the drive's still bad even though it's
green? I think the drive is bad. And he's got his data on his drive. If he puts it back in and does the recovery option,
it's
going to go back. So what
but
I
he's
would,
putting
wait,
on...
I'm not reading my hard drive. I pulled out my hard drive.
Yeah,
and I put it on a SATA, and I'm reading it right now on a backup computer.
Okay,
right. But the point is your data is there.
Yeah, but he's going to move it to the backup computer, right, Kevin?
Right.
Yeah, so he's got that. He could reuse
so
the hard drive.
Then, yeah, if you can put it back in and run it, I still suspect there's something wrong with that hard drive.
And I think you just I think you're onto something, Kevin, where you scrambled the operating system by accident. But that's my feeling. But Bob could be right. It could be a bad drive. So your only option is really to start over, do the recovery, and see if you can get 7 to even boot.
The drives aren't that expensive.
No, they're not.
So you could get another drive relatively inexpensive.
Well, it's a solid state, though, right, Kevin?
It's a hybrid drive.
Oh, hybrid. Okay, Bob's right. They're pretty inexpensive. But your call. He's seen too many computer failures to want to keep working with a potential flaky hard drive to spend his afternoon restoring and realizing it's a flaky drive. I think you're onto something, that it could be just a corrupt operating system in the drive. If you trust Dell's diagnostics, the diagnostics, you're good. If you don't, I mean, he's a cynic because he's out there seeing this every day. I don't blame him. You can't always trust him.
I just
don't
like to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
He's got better things to do.
But you're thinking, even though I'm reading it successfully off another computer right now and working with it, it's probably still got something bad.
It could be a boot record
issue. The drive
is
3.5 years old. It's designed to last 3 years.
Yeah, there's definitely that. But I think your boot record is all messed up somehow.
So the bottom line question I had, if I restore it and it goes to Windows 7.
Yeah, you'll have to upgrade it.
Somehow I'll find a regime that will be able to go to Windows 10 again.
Bob says yes.
Supposedly it runs some sort of a hash algorithm, so your computer is registered somehow with the original key, and it creates like this hash algorithm that's sitting somewhere in a database up on Microsoft's website, which should allow you to do the upgrade.
For free again.
And I just did one with a computer that was running 8.1.
Yeah, same thing.
And it upgraded.
Yeah.
So I was shocked.
So the answer is yes. We think it'll work, Kevin, if you do it that way.
Shocked in a good way. I hope that happens here, too.
We do, too. At least you didn't lose your data.
Not so far.
Yeah. So you did the right thing by trying to get it off the network and get it safe from your power surges and stuff. That was great. And then it still burned you.
Yeah. What are you going
to
do here?
I know. Murphy, no matter what you try to do, Murphy always strikes.
Yeah. You got it.
All right, Kevin.
All righty.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, man.
Our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah. So between Bob and I, we're not sure we agree, but he's got something to do on his rainy Saturday. We're going to step out for a quick break. Deb in Terryville, Greg in Burlington, hang on. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. An American woman just married British royalty. Perfect, Matt. Our producer's thinking here. Look at that. Trying to keep in line with what's going on this morning. I mean, it was on every channel. You couldn't get away from it. I'm like, what is going on? I just want to see what the pet temperature is going to be this morning. I couldn't find anybody that would tell me.
There's always the internet.
Ah, I didn't think of that. You can't trust anything on the internet, though. Let's go to...
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Exactly. Let's go to Deb in Terryville. Hey, Deb, what's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I recently had a hard drive crash, so I was able to get another computer to use. And after I updated to Windows 10 and all that, I discovered that I can no longer use Home Group, and it's been replaced. So I'm really having a difficult time sharing files. It's supposed to be through File Explorer, and I kind of know how to do it, but it's not working. So I wonder if you can direct me somewhere or, you know, give me some hints.
Is this within your own network, within your family's home system?
Within my computers, yes. I now have two computers, a laptop, and, well, we won't go into the other stuff, but just amongst myself.
All right.
Basically.
It's not gone.
Well, it's not on one computer. It's still listed on my laptop, even though the laptop's been updated to the same, you know, feature, you know, update from last month. But when I did the big upgrade on the acquired computer, the first thing I did was look for Home Group. It's not even listed.
Okay. Yeah, but Windows 10 does have it. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got a link here that tells you how to set that up on Windows 10.
Okay.
So you should be able to follow the directions. It's quite lengthy, but
and it's not. So yeah, it hasn't been removed. It is still something that people do use.
Yeah.
Because they tell you it's gone.
Who told you?
It's not listed when you look in settings. There is no longer any setting for Home Group.
I understand. I hear you.
Yeah, it's there.
It's still there.
They like to rearrange the furniture.
It's
those
hidden.
People at Microsoft.
It could be.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm really good at I'm pretty good at doing this kind of stuff, but I could not.
That's okay.
Find anything that was,
Yeah, this is a big problem with Microsoft versus Mac, right? I mean, everyone tells you that Apple Mac is easier to use, and here's the issue with Microsoft. Well, we'll set the Home Group over here for now for Windows 7, and Windows 8, we're going to move it over here, and then Windows 10, it's over here. They basically keep us employed, so I shouldn't be complaining. I was talking to.
Well, I wasn't sure if I could. I mean, this computer was that I acquired was Windows 7, and I just didn't really want to. I wasn't sure if you could even link the two of them together. I don't even want to go there,
Right. Yeah.
I had so much difficult time setting up the Home Group because it took me months to realize, if you're not on the same Wi-Fi, even though you're in the same network.
Well, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi, which would be in the same network.
Those are
incongruent.
I have a guest network that I had set up.
Yeah, so you can be physically on the same Wi-Fi, but I guess network is a separate network from your actual network. So that's not the same thing.
It took quite a while to figure that out.
That's okay. You're a normal person then.
Well, I did. I figured it out. But it's just, I tried it.
Yep.
I actually tried it on the computer with the hard drive that is not quite dead,
Yep.
We're getting, the hard drive is coming today.
Great.
I'm going to take care of that. And I wound up getting it all. I wound up messing up the sharing to the extent that it would let me download like programs where I was trying to load, load whatever few programs I was trying to put on it after I reloaded Windows. It would not let me install them. So I don't know whether it was just the hard drive doing that or whether I messed up the sharing.
You probably messed up the sharing.
That's what I figured because it's like, it's not that, it can't be that difficult to do.
Well, that's
because it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I looked at it, I did everything that the article said to do, and I'm going, I'll have another shot at it because I'm going to have to reinstall Windows again.
Correct. And make sure you're part of the proper home group. We have a nice article that you can follow. But your point about sharing and security, this is the reason. You find Amazon Cloud data is wide open for folks to look at, right? The AMS system, because sharing your key there was sharing data securely is not as easy as you would think. That's part of the problem. It's easy if you set yourself all up as administrators and just share the whole thing out with each other, right? Hey, I can see your data, you can see mine. But the moment you want to keep data securely, all of a sudden it gets a lot more complicated. And so it does separate some folks from those who understand the fact that you have to secure directories, secure access to certain folders and files. But most geeks with limited understanding just share it out to everybody.
Well, I just share. I decided that I tried sharing the whole C drive because I figured, you know, it's my computers.
Yeah, you don't care.
They're my computers.
Yeah.
And it appeared to work.
Mm-hmm.
I could share one way, but on the other computer, I couldn't get it to. I did the same thing, and it wouldn't share back.
Right.
So it was like something's messed up.
Well, and we have it here for you. We put a link up there for you to follow.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect.
See if it works.
Is
see
it
if it's
be
helpful.
On Facebook as well.
It'll be everywhere as long as Zuckerberg deems it worthy. It'll be on Facebook. You never know.
Well, then I'll go to your website. Then.
Okay, I'm just kidding. It should be there. So we'll put it out there for you, but you're not alone. Go ahead, Bob. You want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say that security and ease of use are diametrically opposed to each other.
Exactly.
So the more secure it is, the more difficult it is going to be to use.
Right.
Well, how is it? I mean, if it's just my network. I mean,
No. He's just stating a common issue of IT.
Oh, okay.
But
it'll be out
there for you, Deb. See if it helps. See if the article's helpful, and it should walk you through. Windows 10 does have it.
Yeah, it's been, well, good, because I want to find it.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
You have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Securing anything. People take the path of least resistance and just share it all wide out. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted at the old-fashioned website, computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com. Or if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, everything we talk about or that we link will be linked to your newsfeed if Zuckerberg deems it worthy. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.